Yes, you're listening to Monday's Law and Gospel on this October the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2018, which means we're going to examine a lesson from the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, this coming October the 21st. And the one we're going to look at is Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm Tom Baker, and the verse I want to read is verse 13. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt. Wow. Does this mean that the Bible says that riches are evil? We've got a number of times in the Bible where riches really cause a person unbelief and they are not saved. The parable Jesus gave about the rich man and Dives. Remember the rich man, he's in hell. Now this is a parable, so we never get doctrine from parables in the sense that he's able to see Dives in heaven. And he asked Abraham, send people back to my brothers to tell them what's in store for them. And Abraham says, you know, even if someone were to rise from the dead, they would not be convinced because they have Moses and the prophets and they're not listening to them. Time and time again, it appears riches are a real problem. So can we as pastors say, don't become rich, don't play the lottery in case you win it, don't really look favorably on an inheritance that gives you a lot of money, don't try hard to get more in your wages. Yes, every time income tax comes around, you say, did I make that much? Because when you have to pay income taxes, that's on the basis a lot of times of what you have made. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 10 to 20, really seems to be speaking about the rich. It says, as he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. We've been talking a lot about the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical person has a proper relationship with Jesus Christ and is therefore content with what he has and is joyous with what he has. The horizontal person who does not have a vertical relationship with Jesus tries to find his joy in his experience in the world. He loves to leave something behind him. Remember Friday, a woman had called in, I believe it was, and was talking about Mayor Koch, K-O-C-H of New York, who died. And he asked, even though he was Jewish, he asked to be buried in a Roman Catholic cemetery. Why was that? Because, he said, the Jewish cemeteries close, but the Roman Catholic cemetery is open 24 hours a day. And he wanted people coming to his grave and thinking of all the wonderful things he had done. See, this is the goal of the horizontal, to leave a good reputation behind you. And therefore, their goal is to get a lot of people to like them and really feel bad when they are gone. And they feel in that way, they are really defeating mortality because of what they have left behind. But this is pretty clear. As you came from your mother's womb, and you didn't have even clothes on, naked as he came, he shall take nothing from his toil that he may carry away in his hand. You leave it all behind. So now we got a little problem here. The Bible seems to be saying that being rich is a real problem. We remember the gospel is about Mark 10, of a rich man who comes to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus finally tells him, well, give away all that you have, come follow me. And he walks away sorrowful because he can't give away his riches. But is that always true? Or are we missing something? Is it sinful to be rich? Does it always lead to bad results? Scripture interprets Scripture. I began with verse 13, where God is talking about a evil that he has seen under the sun, where riches are kept by their owners to their hurt, because they love it so much. But verse 10 is where you really need to begin. It does not say, he who has riches will not be satisfied with those riches. It says instead, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. And the word vanity here simply means, boy, there's nothing in it for you. Because when you die, you're going into the grave with nothing. But notice the point that the ecclesiastical writer is saying, he who loves money. Now, can you be rich and not love money? Yes. Yes, it is quite possible. I mean, there's nothing you have that you cannot love to the point where it gets in the way of your vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. I know the Me Too movement is talking about that we need to be kinder to women and not be striking them and this sort of thing. But I'll tell you, every advertisement in regard to makeup or dressing, etc., is to make women more alluring. And I don't think the world understands that this can cause problems. Am I saying that women are to be blamed for when bad things happen to them? No, it's still the will of the person doing the attacking. But there are some things that simply excite an individual and leads him or her to do things that are inappropriate from God's point of view. And this idea that everything is to make you look good. For example, people who are really handsome may love being handsome. They spend all kinds of time in front of the mirror. And it's so that they will have a good reputation before others. That's the horizontal. I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of your body. No, I comb my hair every morning. And then you go outside and the wind blows it all over the place. What we're talking about is a distinction between those who are satisfied with what they have, whether we're talking about money or their looks or their house or their children, and those who love them in such a way that they become more important than God. Jesus says, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. What does that mean? Well, in the context, and I've had this happen, as many pastors have, two people want to get married. One belongs to a different church, but he doesn't want, or she doesn't want to change the church affiliation in order to get married, because it's really going to upset the parents. Even if they believe what, say, the Lutherans believe, they'll still stay the other denomination. And a lot of times they will change once their parents die. That's loving father or mother more than me. So Ecclesiastes is very wise. Of the many temptations that the devil can use to move us away from the vertical relationship to a horizontal is the love of money. Not money, but the love of money. Because he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. I mean, how many times have you gotten a raise and thought about it and said, boy, I wish it would have been a little bit more. But this is all vanity. And here's how things work. Here's how Satan does it. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 11. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? So, you've seen cartoons. Disney puts one out where the individual is so rich, he goes into his room and he's counting his coins all the time, maybe gold coins or whatever. And he's just so happy. That's where he finds his joy. That's where he finds his contentment. That's where he finds his comfort. So when goods increase, people who eat those goods increase with more pride. Look at what I have. Verse 12. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. Now, let's be clear that we're talking about the rich who love money, not the rich who simply have money. I mean, there are some rich people that God really commends. One of them, of course, was Abraham. And Joseph of Arimathea, the one whose grave he had prepared for himself and gave to Jesus, is regarded as a rich man. And remember, he and Nicodemus went to Pontius Pilate to ask to bury the body of Jesus, and Pilate okayed that. Surprised that he had died so quickly, but he did okay that. That was really a possibility of taking your life in your hands, because many of the Pharisees had already indicated and had done this with the man born blind in John 9, that if you confess Jesus in any way, you can be excommunicated, thrown out of the synagogue. And that's why there is a distinction between the rich who cannot sleep, because they're always concerned, what's the stock market going to do tomorrow? You know, during the Depression, remember the stories of people who jumped out of buildings high in the air to their death because they had lost so much money? That's why God says, there is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Those who love riches were kept by their owner to his hurt. And those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is a father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. In other words, there's nothing he can leave to his son when he loves riches, because he can go through a bad venture. And then verse 15 makes the point. You know, naked he came out of his mother's womb. Guess what? That's how he's going to go into the grave. And he shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry in his hand. Isn't that something? All the things that we have gathered, there's programs on television where people are hoarding possessions and such. And I think I have that kind of a problem. I've got 6,000 theological books that I'm willing to sell for $2 each. And for example, there's Luther's works and this sort of thing, because I don't need them. Number one, a lot of what they have I can get by just going to the library here in St. Louis at Concordia Seminary, their newly refurbished library, and look up something for the radio program, etc. So if you know somebody who would like to buy 6,000 books, and Luther's works are selling for $40 each, I have all 25, how many volumes are there? They're more than that, over 40 volumes. And be glad to give them away at $2 each. You can make almost half the money right there Plus, you got 5,000 more books. And some of them are really good, but I don't need them staying here in St. Louis. And so, could I possibly throw them away? No. You know, I have too much of a love for them to throw all these books away. So, if I die, there's no way they're going to put into the coffin 6,000 books. I won't need them anyway when I get to heaven, because you just ask Jesus a question and he kind of knows everything. So, verse 17. It's not that I have a love of riches, because I've never really been rich. And so I don't have these problems that rich people have about worrying that they're going to lose all the money in the stock market fall. But the fact of the matter is that whatever we have, we kind of like to cling to, and it's very hard to get rid of it. It says, all his days the rich man eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. What's he angry about? Well, you see it all the time on television movies where a rich man loses a large amount of money due to something and he gets really angry. Maybe blames employees or blames the stock market or can't understand why this is happening. He's trying to hoard his money. Or he buries it in a mattress and then thieves come in and steal it all. I've seen that happen again and again. So when it says he eats in darkness, only the vertical Christian eats in the light. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the light of the world. Apart from Jesus, you're in the darkness of Satan. And so you're always, Satan is always going to put in your mind, what happens if you lose all this money? So verse 18, behold, this is again God talking, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. You know, the older you get, the more you realize how quickly life passes by. I remember when I was 20 years old, I always think I'm going to live to 100. Well, I'm one-fifth of the way. Then when I was 50, I was half of the way. So you see how short life is. It's kind of a blip on a computer screen. And therefore, if you are happy and you are comforted by your lot in life, I just think something is going to be happening soon, because I'm really living a wonderful life. Every morning I come in and I can do law and gospel. I'm working with four congregations and preaching the word of God. I do seven Bible studies a week at various locations, and we've got three vehicles. Things are working really good. Our house is livable. We have food when we need it, even though it's sometimes White Castles that I like. It doesn't really matter. And you wonder, boy, this is too good a life. Something's bound to happen. And you just kind of wait for it. But you take enjoyment in the toil with which one toils. I don't see how pastors ever retire. I mean, occasionally I'll be sitting in a pew, although I haven't done that for about 4 years. And I just feel, no, I want to be up front, particularly in the pulpit, preaching. And that preaching is sharing with others what has comforted me. Verse 19, Ecclesiastes 5. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his lot, this is the gift of God. So I'm aware of some rich individuals. In fact, working with Concordia Mission Society, We occasionally get a large donation from such people, or they leave money in their will so that we can reach out to missionaries overseas, help put out the Good News magazine, and other things. It's a world that's really filled with a lot of rich people. And those who usually give to the church and Concordia Mission Society are rejoicing in their toil. And they do recognize that wealth is a gift of God. You get to love money when you reverse that. You think that wealth is your item that you merited. Look at what I was able to make. And how many books can you read about how to become a millionaire? There are so many out there by millionaires that did this, but then when you try to do it, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not as easy as they think, because even wealth is a gift of God. I put it in the same category as being righteous in God's sight. That's a gift he's given you by the death of his son on the cross. And by his righteous living on earth, he now transfers that righteousness over to you, either in your baptism or when you hear the word of God and come to faith. That's always gift. Christianity is nothing but a gift from Almighty God. You can't find this gift in any other religion. There's no other God in any other religion who dies so that you will not die, who forgives you, who gives you that kind of righteousness. The final verse 20 of Ecclesiastes 5, and this is talking about the person who is content, even if he is rich. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. Now, what does that mean? That we're going to forget about what happened in life? No. It's really talking about not remembering the bad times in life. Because even if you're rich and you have that right vertical relationship with Jesus Christ, the first thing you recognize, these riches, this wealth, is a gift from God, which I did not deserve. And God, therefore, keeps you occupied with joy in your heart. Even at the death of a loved one, you still, a good funeral, talking about Christ and the faith of the individual who died, that brings joy in your heart, comfort in your heart. You still grieve because you've lost a loved one. But you have joy in the heart knowing the loved one is with heaven, in heaven. By the way, if you were listening to the coffee hour just before our program, the Secretary of Synod was talking about how voting is going to be taking place. But he also referred to the theme of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's convention next summer in 2019. It is joyfully Lutheran. And where does that joy come from? It doesn't come from riches if you love money. It comes instead as a gift from God. Because when you have that vertical relationship and you are not dependent on the horizontal, whether it's relationships with others, a good reputation, having enough money, having a great house, great family, etc. No. You can have joy in your heart even when you don't have those items, because the promises of God is what comforts you. It's a huge difference between the vertical and the horizontal. When you're only in a horizontal relationship, then you're going to have to love money. I'm Tom Baker. That's from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Tomorrow on Rumination Tuesday, Mark Smith will be with us, and we'll be looking at a hymn entitled Hope of the World, Thou Christ of Great Compassion. And it really ties into what we're talking about in the Ecclesiastes. Till tomorrow, then. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.